welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And today's show is a special show, because I just wanted to mention that we're all sick over here. So it's just all, well, it would be all Skype, except Skype decided not to work, so we're Google hanging out right now.
Yeah.
And we are Google hanging out with our good friend from Ontario, Canada, Mr. Mike Reynolds from PuzzlingPost.com. What's up, man?
Not too much, guys. How you doing?
Oh, splendid.
It's great to talk to you guys for the first time today, right now.
Yeah, right.
For the first time, for the fourth time in a row. We've had some technical difficulties. This may be the third or fourth time we've started the show, but none of you know that.
Yeah, you know nothing. None of you know anything. So I wanted to ask straight off the bat, because I actually I was poking around on your site the other day, and I think in the About Me section you started talking about how you came up with the name Puzzling Posts.
Yes, sir.
But I didn't quite get to that, and so what's the deal there?
So Puzzling Posts is kind of my homage to Stephen Leacock, a Canadian author. He's a humor guy. Well, he's a humor guy who's also writes some academic textbooks, which is kind of the exact opposite. But he was a writer that heavily influenced my writing. But all of his stories were sunshine sketches, and it was always the letter thing. So I came up with Puzzling Posts, and probably 6 years ago, because I originally started this blog just as a way for me to get my writing out there. And the Puzzling Post part carried over to parenting side of things. So now I got similar to my actual house. It's everywhere now. Puzzling Post, a passage through parenting now. So
that's cool, man. Getting a little
so much feedback.
Yeah, getting a little bit of feedback there.
I'm just gonna sit back and not touch anything.
Yeah. I'm just not gonna touch the computer at all. It's better if I don't actually handle the computer while we're doing anything.
I'll see how far back my microphone lets me go from the computer.
And yeah.
Maybe I'll do this from Manitoba as opposed to Ontario. So.
Oh, that's a Canadian joke. I don't get it.
I'm American. I don't understand.
It's hard for me to even picture which provinces are beside me anyways, so...
I still think it's interesting that you have provinces.
I'm looking at... I don't even know.
I'm still playing with it.
We apologize, people.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, Mike. I have no idea what's going on here. I'm trying to adjust, man. Nothing's working.
That's really hot.
Oh, man.
Oh, let me try that.
Alright.
Is that any better?
It's better from you.
I just unplugged my headphone and mic, and I'm just doing it straight up now, so.
How about you, Mike? How's your end doing?
Well, mine sounded fine, so it's whatever I sound like to you guys.
Okay, so you're not hearing our lovely feedback?
No, it's not too bad on my end. I can hear it pretty well, so.
Okay.
All right,
then we'll keep powering through. We apologize, people, for the technical difficulties. And it didn't happen.
Let's just regroup and focus. Yeah, I believe we can do it.
I'm losing my belief in myself, but I'm willing to continue on anyway. Self-doubt is an easy one for me.
That's spirit.
All right, so we were talking about, what were we just?
Puzzling Posts and how that came about. So
Mike, how did you decide, you know, that you wanted to, I guess, start the blog and, you know, kind of talk about your life?
Okay. Well, when I started writing my blog, it was just a way to get a lot of fiction writing out there. When I had kids, I realized there was a lot better material than just reading Yahoo odd news headlines and writing a story from that. So my kids pretty much give me all my material, and I take it from there.
It's a good place to get stuff from, man.
Exactly. No, they're plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the way that I see, I guess, dad blogs, and I guess mom blogs all along the way, is, you know, where everyone's using their kids for material. It's really just a play, all this play on top of kids say the darndest things.
Exactly.
And just, like, using that and going.
Yeah. You know, I have a very specific kid say the darndest things on my website, so I try not to keep it just to that, but it's certainly part of my little thing, so.
And that's the, would that be the Tiny Tales aspect?
That's the she said what stuff, so that is where I take something that my kid said, and I mean, I make up some kind of stories about it. The Tiny Tales thing, which is my favorite part of my site, is the bedtime stories that we kind of write together.
Okay.
I get my kids to come up with ideas of what the story should be, and I kind of put something together from there. They don't always make sense, but they're always pretty good. So.
And you have two daughters, right?
I have two daughters, yeah. Almost 2 years old and a 4 year old kid.
Nice.
So you're like right at the outside of the terrible 2-3s. And just getting into...
Yeah, she decided to make it a terrible 1.5, too. I don't know what her end is going to be. So we're right into it with her. She didn't wait till the second birthday party. Or at least I hope it doesn't get worse at the second birthday party. I hope we're into it already.
Oh, man, we're in the throes of it.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter, she turns 3 in a month, like at the end of February.
Right.
She started at like a year and a half as well.
Yeah.
So we're at the, you know, been a year and a half of doing it. And I'm like, will you just not throw a tantrum?
Yeah. So I can hear you throwing one outside of his office right now. So it's a very thick climb in the sense of what he's doing. I'm in the cave. Unfortunately, we don't have soundproof walls or anything, but I can hear it creeping underneath the door.
That's always fun. I can't hear anything through my wall to my left, because if I could, I would just be knocking on Ben's head.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd just be talking to each other.
Yeah, we're literally right next door.
Yeah.
And I'm in my basement, and I can tell from the video where Ben's sitting in his basement. Just based on his Batman posters there. But he's literally right on the other side of the wall.
So yeah, so that's exactly what you'd be hearing.
Yeah, I could just go start. I could get up and go bang on the wall and it would be on a broadcast.
Which brings an interesting dynamic, you know?
Or I'm going to get up, walk out my basement floor, go to your deck, or underneath your deck and start banging on your basement windows.
Because why not? But actually, I've got a good reason why not. Because pneumonia. That's why not.
Yeah, I take that reason as a why not.
Yeah, you don't want any of that.
No, I don't want that.
So have you had anything going on with that sort of stuff lately up there?
We have nothing but that stuff that goes on in this house. The 4-year-old just started school this year, which has brought a whole new level of... household sickness to the party. She comes. I mean, I don't know that we've had a not sick day in the last at least 4 months. We had another night. The thing is, it doesn't affect our daytime too much because a lot of these seem to be nighttime colds that they're picking up. But we went skating and everything, and then, which of course makes everyone more tired.
Yeah.
And then you spend the 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock thing cleaning up a kid's group or the other one coming into your bedroom or. I mean, every night, it's now part of the routine. I don't even know if we're sick or not anymore, or if it's just now become part of what we do at night. We brush our teeth, and then we all get sick at night, I think. So it's really all one and the same over here anymore. We're now used to it. So.
Oh, man. Well, hey, we started talking about Tiny Tales for a little bit. How did that kind of come about? Was it just, one of your daughters just kind of sat down and started telling you a story or something?
Well, one of the things decided if I was going to be writing so much, because I wanted to make sure my kids were involved in it, not just I'm at home sitting at a computer and say, okay, kids, go play while I read these stories. So as we were getting ready for bedtime, my daughter had all kinds of stories she liked to tell.
Okay.
And basically what we did is she gave me a few names. Like she'd say, hey, write, do something about a lion, you know, climbing a ladder. And so we'd come up with kind of the skeleton or the outline of a story. We'd make something up ourselves. And then what I'd do when she fell asleep is I'd go downstairs and I'd hammer out the rest of it. So it was really kind of a collaboration, a pretty cool way to get my daughter's extremely unique bedtime story ideas onto, well, I guess not on paper anymore, but onto a Microsoft Word file.
That's cool, man.
Really, yeah, it's really been a great way to kind of help them get more creative and to, I mean, to allow me some great material.
What would be, how many tiny tales posts have you done?
I guess we have close to 50 of them now. I launched the site as it is in February of last year, and what we've done is do one every week, so we're now climbing closer to the 50 mark. I had a few of them written beforehand, too, so I shared some of those, but we probably have about 50 of the bedtime stories at this point.
That's cool. And having some more technical difficulties, actually.
No, you keep muting me.
Nick, you with it? There you go.
Yeah, you keep muting my mic.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not muting you on purpose, I promise. I think I was just hitting a button by accident. I swear.
Like, it was like every time we ask a question, we go to you, Mike. I'm like, what? While it's happening? What I was going to say is my follow-up question. Out of all of, almost years' worth of tiny tales, what would you say is the favorite one that you put together with the kids?
We have one about a giant plays hopscotch. That was one of my favorites we wrote. I wrote one when I was away on a conference too about like a daddy bluebird missing his little bluebirds and stuff too.
Yeah.
So there are a few that stick out to me. The most read story that we have though is actually called the Dinosaur Tea Camp. And it's about dinosaurs, they eat hot dogs at a campfire, and then have to go to the bathroom. So there's no shortage of things that we have stories about, because that so happens to be around a potty thing in my doctor's speaking at that point. I don't know how I set that up, but for some reason that is by far my most read bedtime story so far.
I'm running through trying to find that one.
Yeah, if you... I mean, I don't even know if you have to type, I have quite a few dinosaur ones. If you search for dinosaurs, you'll probably find it. Eventually.
I guess your kids are a big fan of dinosaurs.
They are. Yeah, the dinosaurs and robots, and that's most of our early stories were robot-based. Now we've got into horses and bears and hockey and stuff, so... we're branching out at this point. We're finally moving out of just the dinosaur and robot territory.
That's cool. That's one of the things that I like. Like my daughter, she's actually 5 months old today. Is today the 11th? It was either today or yesterday. Yesterday, she's just turned 5 months, and for some reason lately, she's ever since she got sick. Probably about like a week ago now, she started to babble, just all sorts of nonsense, and it really makes me excited for, you know, the types of things that she'll start talking about.
Yeah, it's exciting, man.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, kids talking is the best.
Yeah, except when they curse.
Yes, exactly. And the only thing with my kids is I know the only one person in this house that's come from. Well, I mean, it's not entirely. I shouldn't leave my wife blameless, but the one that they pick up is daddy's swear word, not mummy's swear word.
Yeah.
We have swear word designates so that we can tell which one of them to trace it back to whenever they start dropping it in front of public. So
nice.
We had a couple weeks ago, Sophia dropped her first. And you know, she dropped the old F bomb, you know, before three.
Yeah.
I did not think she was around. I said it, and immediately I just heard her repeat it. And Sarah turns to me and she's like, "Nice one." I'm, you know, thanks a lot. Did not think she was going to repeat it. Yeah. I mean, she's in the car with me, and you know, typically when we're in the car, I try either just to talk to her or not yell at traffic.
Yeah.
You know, going to and from daycare or things like that. But, you know, there are times when someone cuts me off or, you know, something happens and I completely forget that she's in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, my road rage language comes out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to say there are sometimes, like, when you see a kid curse and it's not your own, it can be hilarious.
Mm.
Like, you know, like you see someone else's kid curse and you're going to laugh because they don't know what it means. They don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, I feel bad for the parents.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Actually, the first time my daughter sweared, it wasn't as, not that it wasn't a big deal because it kind of shocked me when they dropped the F-ball on it, but it didn't worry as much because it wasn't, she didn't use it in context. It was a mimic and everything. Then one time, I don't know, 6 months later, she used it in context, and that freaked me out. When she started to add that word to her vocabulary, populist, like in the right way,
yeah.
Like, oh no, we're in big trouble now. Now she knows what it means. Now she's not just mimicking. Because whenever I say it and she copies it, then I can just throw it, so chicken, and then, you know, bring her down the trail of words that aren't the F word, and, you know, 6 months later, she forgets what I said. Now that she has a bit of context, then I think she's singularly dropped it in the car as well. She's developing her early case of road rage, which I absolutely try to keep any words I say to Del Roar in the car, knowing that every 6 months tends to be drama. But I'm sure I'm doing it to other cars too. But there are some driving moves I just can't stand, and when those moves come out, the brain forgets everything about me and the words. Her little car seat. I don't know. I can't see her, but I hope to God she's just swear now that I hopefully seen my own words up while we're at it. But.
Oh yeah. Okay, we've had the other word, and it's not bad, but like it's like probably the most tame word, and like, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even consider it at this point to be the first word, is, you know, damn it.
Damn it.
And yeah. Sophia, that's now like one of her favorite words.
Yeah.
And she knows the correct context to use it.
Yeah.
Like, we got home, I think it was New Year's Eve, and you know, we let her stay up. We were over friends who have kids. And she's carrying my wife's water bottle into her own room. And she goes in and drops it three different times. And after each time, it's like, crash, damn it. Crash, damn it. Crash, damn it. And we're not in her room, and we're just looking at each other, laughing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, no, don't say that. I'm like, no, no, say darn it every time she says it. But
we're in there too. We try to have her, now that we know that she's going to be saying something when she gets angry, I think we move to the darn it as well, or son of a gun, or something like that. But, I mean, in addition to the swear words, you have the other. I honestly, I'd rather say damn it than start calling people stupid and stuff. So there are the words that we definitely try to get rid of. Some of them are the swear words. Some of them are the, yeah, I know when you're that child, you're going to get angry and you're going to say something. So we try to work on those while making sure that there are other things like the stupid
format. Yeah, the ones where you don't want them to, you know, insult their friends or,
exactly.
You know.
So we know that in schoolyard talk, we don't want those making it in there. So it's a tricky balance. Which ones we able to leave in her vocabulary and which ones we try to get out of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the difficult part, and I actually just did a post about this earlier in the week that stemmed from, I put a post up in the Dad Bloggers group about would be a curse, and then it kind of turned into, you know, what's worse is when you're out in public and people don't notice that there are kids. You know, you're at a restaurant, you're at a grocery store, or, you know, a park or something like that, and people are oblivious that there are children around and just are, you know, cursing up a storm.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, we ran into an instance. We went out to dinner to a restaurant that I've been to a million times, never had an issue. I mean, I just felt like the drunkest guy behind us. He didn't seem to care that there was anybody around as far as like the volume of his voice. He was just screaming. Just conversation was screaming. Like, I couldn't hold a conversation because of him, and every other word was the F. It was just ridiculous. And like, my sister-in-law's boyfriend said to the waitress, like, hey, can you ask this guy to stop, you know, one, screaming, two, using the F word. I have a 2-year-old here.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did. The manager came over later and like, oh, I'm sorry, your appetizers took so long. I'm like, I don't care about that. I'm more concerned with blowhard behind me.
Yeah.
Who doesn't give a crap what he's saying. But I mean, we heard him kind of muttering under his breath, like, you know, we're at this restaurant, like it's a bar. I can say whatever I want. It's like, and it's only an infant. It's like, no, you idiot. There's clearly a 2-year-old sitting in front of your face.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to get up and start a fight in front of my children.
Yeah, man, it's one thing if you learn, or if your kids learn curse words from you, but when they start picking up from other people, yeah, then it starts to get, because then they start to think, or I would assume that they start to think that then it's, you know, socially acceptable, like, this is the way people talk to each other, so this is okay, you know?
Yeah, that's how we kind of use it, too. I mean, singular words aren't really a big issue for me, if people say the one-off and everything, but we have the kids around adults, but I don't get angry if someone swears once or twice, right? Just in a conversation or whatever. But like I said, the yelling turd on its own for me is annoying enough, right? Because I mean, I don't need my kids to be around that stuff, and it does get to the point where it's not, I can say whatever I want. Like, come on, use a little bit of, it's not even common sense. It's human beings. What's around you? Just take a look.
Yeah.
There's no room for that. At the same time, you don't go over and throw down with the guy, but it's frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I guess a lot of it depends on, like, if you're a, you know, confrontational person, you know, by nature.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you are, you may just go be like, okay, let's, you know, knock it off, or we're going to go.
Yeah.
I'm not really someone who wants to start a fight because I really don't feel get my face punched.
Yeah, I'm not a fighter. Yeah.
You know, if I have to, I will, but I don't want to. So you hear that, people, don't fight me.
Yeah, or me. Or me, unless you want to get the windmill. Unless you want to get the windmill going.
Going to move it. Yeah, don't approach me on the left or right side because they're both working right now.
Can't hear this mic? Let me turn this one up.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that kind of thing. all right. I'm gonna pull up your most recent post, Mike. Unintentional children's accessories scale of embarrassment.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, look, Transformers stickers I put on my car on purpose. All right.
And this is the other thing. I tried to go through the things that I have at home, and I almost felt bad putting the My Little Pony thing so far down the embarrassment scale, but I mean, only because I'll probably end up doing it a few times. But it was, how can I successfully arrange this? And, you know, if I get into a little bit of a debate about where the Transformer stickers should belong, then all the better. The more debate, then the more readership, right?
So, yeah, right.
Exactly. Transformer stickers maybe should be. They should be put on your hat and on your arm, turned into a tattoo, maybe. You never know, but.
So, I mean, does this happen often? Where?
Yeah, for me, every single day, I at least have a sticker. I mean, the other things are, they're slightly more exaggerated. I'll never have, I shouldn't say that, but I may one day walk out of the house with my daughter's sweatshirt on. I can't promise that's not going to happen, but I mean, some of the other ones were a little further stretched. But every single day. Either that or later on in the nothing category, which I find the worst thing that could happen. You just walk into the house with like anything that reminds you of your kids. You're in bigger trouble than anything else. If I dig through my pockets, I'll definitely find, it's not always fun find, but I'll find like a used Band-Aid or something like that. Yep, that was in the Band-Aid phase when she needed a Band-Aid every hour. So, So there's that, or there's things that I've peeled off them before they've gone into school. And I mean, the pockets become like this hidden treasure trove, right? So I have all kinds of hair bands and everything in my pocket at any given day. So.
How about glitter? You get covered in glitter often?
They're not huge glitter kits.
Okay.
And I'm not going to throw the glitter on them. If they happen to find glitter and they take the glitter, then so be it. But I'm not going to be the one who introduces them to the fun glitter. Someone else can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I'll stick with the stickers at this point. So
you don't ever want to get into the glitter category. I mean,
I really don't.
We have like, you know, certain dress up, you know, like dresses and stuff, or the tiaras that had, you know, a little bit of glitter on them.
Yeah, and just coming through the Christmas phase too, I mean, we have so many ornaments that there's a little bit of glitter on, so
yeah,
every time you sit in the canopy, you see the little spots of glitter, and I start to worry, are they in the glitter now? And then I'll see the offending ornament and know, okay, they're not in the glitter yet, that was an ornament, we don't have to worry yet. But we're going through our craft closet yesterday too, and I don't remember seeing a lot of glitter, so I do think at this point, I think my wife's on the same page, but if there is no glitter, that's okay. If they come home screaming for glitter, we'll have that conversation. But at this point, it's pretty glitter free household.
Yeah.
Gotta love glitter forever.
If they walk in the house with glitter, I'm just gonna like pick it up and chuck it out the door.
Well, don't be mean about it.
No, I'm just gonna send the glitter to your kid.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's just much easier for me to. Along
with you. Well, no, don't give it to Emma, because she's at the point where she's just shoving everything in her mouth right now.
That sounds a bit right.
that would just be terrible if she's, you know, farting glitter all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I'll blame you.
Might be pretty interesting.
So I gotta ask, because you included the Pinkie Pie hairpiece.
Yes, sir.
Is this something that you have experienced?
This is another thing I wrote about once. I wrote about being, I wrote about brony dumb. So, about the brony. And my kids liked My Little Pony, and I started watching My Little Pony. And I really liked My Little Pony. It was a good show.
Yeah.
Like all the kids' shows we watched, but the thing is, I didn't take it too much further than that, so I was afraid I fell somewhere in between people that didn't like them and a brony. So if I tried to call myself a brony, I'd be excluded from the brony community, and by calling myself a brony, I'd be excluded from everyone else's lives. So I'd be stuck in there in like, you know, you think you're a brony, but you're not, so you're calling yourself one, but no side wants you. So me and two other guys in the world, I think, were probably part of this really, really middle group that had me uncomfortable for a little bit. So I kind of dropped my brony title and just stuck to watch My Little Pony when it's around. But for all the things we have around the house, I don't think the Pinkie Pie hairpiece is one of them. We have hairpieces, but I don't think any of the pony ones are. We just have straight up My Little Pony action figures.
Yeah.
I did not know that brony was a thing.
Didn't know brony was a thing?
I know Jabroni.
No, not Jabroni. No.
Yeah, Broni is an absolutely real, and I won't say scary. I'm sure there are many very nice Bronies, I think. So I didn't research it too heavily before attaching my name to Bronium, but I did look at it and said this is safe enough. I like My Little Pony. Where do I fit in? Over time, I've established I'm not hardcore enough to actually be a brony. But
I guess that'll happen. For those of you just joining, and you know, if you're picking up midway through a show, that's just weird. But just a reminder, we're talking with Mike from PuzzlingPost.com. You can follow him on Twitter at PuzzlingPostDad.
and let me pull up your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. It's probably Puzzling Post Dad too. Yeah.
Yep. Facebook.com/puzzlingposts.
Yeah.
And puzzlingpost.com. Just a reminder.
And don't forget as well, you can follow us at PB Dadcast on Twitter, as follow as well as us individually. Nick at Brownie underscore 22 and myself at BKM505. And we're on Facebook as well, and this is probably how you got the link to this podcast. So if you haven't hit that like button, shame on you.
Or follow button.
Or follow button. You should already be on that.
Yeah, on all of them. And if you're not currently reading Mike's posts and his Tiny Tales stories, then shame on you.
Again.
Yeah, big shame. There's lots of extremely well-written bedtime stories in there. Only the story of the three-year-old can create. And apparently write at a three-year-old level as well, some of them, I'm pretty sure.
So from the perspective of a dad who is I'd say new, I like to call myself a new dad because she's still quite young, but actually both of you guys around the year 2 year 3 area, you're dealing a lot with potty training, right?
We're through the crux of one of them. We still have the quote-unquote accidents every once in a while with the just four-year-old, but we're trying to wait until the kind of March break when our oldest daughter is home for us to go through potty training with number two. So she'll be 2 years in a bit, and the kind of method we used with our oldest was a very kind of intensive one where you just hang out at home for 48 hours straight, and they pee on the floor all the time. So we're trying to make sure we can carve out that exciting time for the second child as well, and no other way to spend March break than peeing on the floor at home. So, I mean, there's our plan right there.
Yeah. If
potty training is fun. We're on the crux of it right now with my oldest Sophia. We thought they were starting at daycare a while ago, and they weren't. They're, I don't know, we need to concentrate on this other person. And I'm like, you have how many teachers that can help potty train them? So this past week, they were really going to get started with her, and we had started last weekend here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took her that little bit to finally, I guess, not be scared that it's okay to poop on a toilet.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, all of a sudden, it was like Saturday morning. She's like, I need to poop. On the potty, and I was like, score! And now it's just like every morning she gets up, you know, she wants to go, and she sits there, and like her eyes get huge, and she's like, what's that? A poop. it's hilarious. And you know, she can pee on it. It's just a matter of getting her in the routine of when you go, don't just stand there.
Yeah.
Go into the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we let her wear underwear, you know. She wears a pull-up at night. Just working on that. That part is probably the roughest.
Yeah.
Aspect, I guess, you know, once they learn that, but we're right there, working on it.
Our second one is showing a lot more interest than the first one too. I mean, it was more a push. Because there is a little over 2 years difference between the two. We diapers can be expensive, and the time changing diapers can get annoying. So when she was about a little over two when we said, okay, now that we have another kid in the house and we kind of got used to the two kids around, we said, we have to do it. Our youngest has been almost asking to do it a little more, but I mean, she doesn't have the grasp on vocabulary enough at this point for us to be, you know, an on-demand bathroom person. So
right.
We are trying to hold out a little more as her vocabulary develops. She's a little more able to communicate to us that she needs to go to the rat out.
Yeah, the changing of the diapers for two kids at one time is, I mean, it can be brutal, expensive.
Exactly. And it was just, to be honest, it started like feeling weird because you have this 2 year or this like 2 week old who's so tiny. And then when you have the new perspective of a 2 week old and then you have like a 26 month old child, it now feels like you're changing the diaper of like an 8 year old because you're so used to it. I mean, your 2 year old is immensely bigger as soon as you add a baby in there. So all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, we have like a kid here, not a baby anymore. So it was a little more like, all right, yeah, it gave us a little perspective of how old our now toddler was. She was no longer a baby because we have what really is a baby in the other hand. So that was it was a little bit of a push at that point too. So.
Yeah, that's my two daughters are 2.5 years apart almost to the day within like 3 days.
Right.
So that's kind of the same exact thing that we went through in August when we had Maddie. So like. We see, you know, the oldest one, whoa, you're a little person. You're not a baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's start acting more like a person and not, you know, and not a baby where we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, the closest thing that we've got to potty training, quote unquote, at this point is Emma has started discovering her feet and that she could grab her feet. So every time we lay her down to change a diaper, like, she knows it's coming. So she'll grab her feet and just pick her legs straight up. Like, yeah, okay, so, here you go, you can do it.
Yeah. Any help counts at any age, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
She's ahead of him at this point.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
Wah, wah. Ooh, I'm getting nice weird noises.
I can still hear crying noises in the other room too. Just handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Nice long one.
I mean, if you need to tend to a tantrum, we can call. I mean, we know we're close up to our time.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a scream for Daddy yet. As soon as those ones come, and there can be no more of Mommy, that's when people have to depart. But.
Nice, man. So, is there anything you wanted to mention? Anything you wanted to talk about?
No, like I said, my big thing with this whole writing, I mean, I've been writing for a long time, considering myself a pseudo-writer for years now, but I did used to just like to write more of the adult-based, you know, satire. I was a Monty Python, raised on Monty Python and Fawlty Towers. And,
yeah.
So a lot of my humor doesn't make a lot of sense to most people, but as soon as I got the kids involved, I still wanted to be able to write some of the funny stuff. So a lot of my bedtime story posts, I tend to side or err on the side of humor, but, my favorite part is being able to have the kids involved in some of these things, whether it's one of the stories or if it's doing a craft with them. I think it's a great way because, I mean, I don't know what all this is going to, how it's going to end up affecting them. I didn't grow up with my parents writing about me on the internet, so
yeah.
I don't know what the impact of this thing is. So that's why I try to at least make sure that if I'm writing about being a father, I'm getting them involved in me about being a father.
That's great.
It's a tricky balance, but I think that if I'm working with them on being more creative, on reading, on writing, on drawing, on all the things I had fun doing as a kid, I think it's a lot easier to sit down and write a post kind of that about it.
Yeah. Makes sense. A lot of sense.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sitting through all of our technical difficulties this morning.
it wouldn't be a podcast without them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Any stories like this are great. So.
Yeah.
The story behind the podcast, it took 4 hours to actually get voice and recorded and that fun kind of thing.
Yeah.
it's just how we roll.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be Poppin' Bottles Dadcast without interesting little twists.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Mike.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, guys. It's been fun talking. every time that we talked, I've enjoyed it more and more. Exponential fun. So.
Just keeps getting better and better. In fact, you know what? You know what? I'm just going to delete this recording.
We're
just going to start right over again.
Super.
All right. Well, everybody, don't forget. Check him out at puzzlingpost.com as well as on Twitter. You can follow him, puzzlingpostdad, and find him on Facebook as well under, interestingly enough, the exact same name, Puzzling Post.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Have a great week, everybody, and Ben, hit that music.